This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
What's up, guys? Matt Brown here for the VSiN Podcast Network Long Shots Special Edition. Before the tee here of the U.S. Open, going to run through my thoughts, my bets here as we get really, really close to what should be an absolutely fascinating U.S. Open over at Oakmont. We have absolutely no idea how incredibly difficult this course is going to play. Your guess is as good as mine. We assume it is going to be very, very tough. Sometimes we go too far with all of this, but it's certainly not going to be a birdie fest. I can assure you that. Nearly 7,400 yards, par 70, 168 bunkers. Many of those are going to be a penalty stroke. While there's not any water holes or ditches, they dug ditches out there. 5-inch thick rough that they're not going to cut. So if they get any weather, it's just going to get thicker and deeper. And then greens that are going to run like 14 and a half on the stem. So it's just going to be incredibly, incredibly tough scoring conditions at Oakmont for the U.S. Open. We got the live players in there, 14 of them. We got some amateurs as well that have qualified, 15 of those. And in my opinion, staying in the fairway, considering there's no first cut of rough. So it goes straight from fairway into nasty, is going to be absolutely paramount here for success. So we need people that can keep it in the fairway. Long is a bonus, that's for sure. Long is a bonus. But we need to be in the fairway. If you're playing out of the rough, depending on how far in the rough you are, what's going on with all that, I mean, listen, you could be punching out. You're not even going to be able to go for the greens. The model this week for me, the stats that matter. And of course, guys, if you haven't already listened to Kelly and Wes's thoughts, that's in the podcast feed as well. Be sure and go check out that. I'm looking at total driving, which again is accuracy and distance combined. I didn't put as much of a weight on that, but again, like we said, distance helps. Distance is a bonus for sure in all that. Approach, maybe the least I've put emphasis on approach in a very long time. Considering how important is going to be just to be in the fairways. Like, I think that needs to be our biggest focus here. And certainly approach is something that's always going to be incredible. But these greens are going to be hard to hold, most likely. Most likely. Now, I guess that gets us to the weather forecast here as we are on Wednesday afternoon heading into this tournament that tees off on Thursday. There is rain in the forecast. Now, how much and how long and does it even affect the course at all? That is all to be determined. But the latest stuff from the Weather Channel does say that there could be weather. And just to kind of give you the exact thing, Thursday, this will be the hottest day of the tournament with afternoon players seeing a high in the mid to upper 80s. No rains expected. However, Friday, temperatures will tick down. Also watching a cold front coming into Pennsylvania that will eventually stall, but forecast models are at odds over how much moisture it will contain on Friday. For now, there's a low chance of hit or miss afternoon shower or thunderstorm. Saturday, this is from the National Weather Channel. Again, this is not me just spouting off. Surging moisture out of the west southwest combined with the front lingering nearby will increase the risk of showers and storms, particularly in the afternoon hours. Localized heavy rain and lightning are both possibilities, which means play could be interrupted. And then Sunday, the final round has a similar forecast to Saturday and hinges on whether the stalled front set, how the stalled fronts set up. Right now, the chance of showers and storms is a little over 50%, but that can trend higher or lower since forecast models are not in good agreement on this. You will need to check back over the next couple of days. So again, that's from the Weather Channel. So what does that mean to me? You know, look, if that rough gets wet, it's going to make it a little bit more difficult for some of the players in the field, for sure. It's already just going to be hell on earth hitting out a 5-inch rough that might get longer because they're not going to cut it again. So, I mean, it's already going to be terrible. But if you're a lower club head speed person, older dudes, amateurs that are like have no idea how to play in conditions like this or something, certainly if that ridiculously thick rough gets wet, it's just going to be worse for them. But you're probably not considering any of those guys anyway this week. So for me, off the tee, and again, think about this. it could be less than driver, but off the tee still is something that we're going to be looking at here, because these guys that are better off the tee, it doesn't necessarily mean with driver. I mean, they a lot of these guys are 3 wood or 5 wood, or, you know, even sometimes irons and stuff off the tee, depending on the course that they're playing, the hole that they're playing. So off the tee, driving distance, driving accuracy, fairways gained, if you wanted to go that direction, all stuff you could put in the model this week. I did total driving because I want to see accuracy mixed with distance, more of a tiebreaker than anything else. Strokes gained on hard courses, bogey avoidance around the greens, because these greens are going to be so hard to hold anyway. Are you going to be able to get up and down? Can you scramble? And then just strokes gained total, because it's going to be a complete test of everybody's golfing skill. Surprise, surprise. I know you're losing your mind. Yeah, Scotty Scheffler's number one in the model. I know. You're blown away. You can't believe it. Scotty Scheffler, number one in the model. But the rest of the model might shock you. Several different versions run for me. The average comes out to Corey Connors, Shane Lowry, Sepp Straka, Russell Henley, Keegan Bradley. These are all names that are coming up before you get to Rory McIlroy. It's just, it is, again, super, super heavy driving focused and driving accuracy focused. And so because of that, that's why you're getting the names that you're getting. That said, that's going to play for me this week. Some of the guys are a little bit less information on, of course, the live dudes. But you still have some of that information. You can go in and glean what you're going to get from those guys. And so with that, for me, we end up in an unfortunate situation where Scotty Scheffler's at the top of the board. He's number one by a mile in all the models, as he should be. But we can't play him. And here's the other thing, though, that is a bonus if you want to get Scotty Scheffler exposure. One, if you still have him in one and done, go to town. Two, if you live in a DFS state, go to town. Three, he's so short that unless he goes out and gets 5 strokes ahead after the first round, very unlikely given the scoring conditions, we're going to get basically the same price after the first couple of rounds anyway, and at least you can kind of see what's going on out there. So for me, I'm not saying I won't add some Scotty, but I'm just going to do it in tournament if I do. Betting card for me, 4 outrights, a couple top 20s, and some head-to-heads. I started with John Rahm. He is the dude that really jumps off the page to me as someone that puts it all together, has the same skill set when on that Scotty does, and isn't way, 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 in my opinion, a little bit too short, which that puts in the Bryson category for me. I think Bryson's a little too short. I know some people would disagree. But John Rahm checks a lot of the boxes. For me, some of the data, like we said, is incomplete, which is unfortunate. But there's enough there for me to get to John Rahm and feel confident in Rahm. With the data that we do have, second in this field off the tee, eighth around the green, third strokes gained total over the last 36 rounds, second in bogey avoidance. I mean, these are all things that we're trying to get into our players this week, right? First in strokes gained on hard courses, even ahead of Scotty Scheffler, who obviously is second. Shane Lowry, Russell Henley, Keegan Bradley are going to round out the outright card for me this week. Shane Lowry puts it in the fairway. Grinder, I know he can get pissed off. I know that is a frustrating point of his game. I'm sure this course is going to piss a lot of people off. Can he keep his head? Because if he can keep his head, this is a guy that we're talking about then in all of these categories, third in approach, 24th in total, 11th in bogey avoidance, 28th in driving accuracy, 23rd in greens and regulation, 28th in scrambling, 21st in strokes gained on hard courses. Like, he's inside the top 30 in this field, 12th in total driving. He's inside the top 30 in everything. There's 156 golfers in this tournament. And we're talking about well-rounded, needing to be well-rounded. He doesn't excel in one thing and then really fall off in another. Russell Henley kind of fits that as well. If we're not really worried about distance this week as much, I know there will be some people out there who are. I am not. But then you get to Henley, and it's kind of the same profile. 23rd in approach, 20th around the green, 28th total, 21st bogey avoidance, 26 greens in regulation, 16th scrambling. You get the picture. Well-rounded golfer. Isn't at the top of the board in any of those categories. But again, inside the top 30 in the field. He does everything good. Maybe not elite in any specific thing, but does everything good. And I think the Oakmont is going to be the ultimate test of how well-rounded you are as a golfer. And then the last one's Keegan Bradley, who shockingly was so high in the models for me. And Keegan has just been playing very, very good, solid golf. And the price to me just didn't match where he was showing up in the models. Keegan, 90-1 out there in the market right now. And just really green almost across the board to him. Not the greatest of scramblers, if you want to poke a hole. But again, the numbers just so much longer than all these other guys. Then you can deal with one category that he's not right up there, you know? Top 20 on Corey Connors and Sepp Straka. Same deal. Hit fairways. Go in. Just can do what you do. Hit fairways and stripe irons. Hit fairways and stripe irons. Go make pars. They're going to top 20. Don't know if they can compete to win it. I'm going to use them in head-to-heads as well. I'm playing Connors over Hideki and Straka over Hovland. And then going back to the guy that I mentioned first in John Rahm, play Rahm over Rory in a head-to-head. Rory not rated out incredibly well for me in this one. And honestly, I think the biggest problem for me is while the driver is such a weapon for him because of the distance, he is kind of the bomb and gouge guy. He'll get it over into the rough and just play out. But this is just a different animal with the rough. I don't think bomb and gouge is going to play here. I could be wrong. Rory McIlroy is a superhuman, you know. But if we look at driving accuracy over the last 24 rounds. Wait, is this 24? Which model is this one? I can't even remember. Oh, no, this is the 36 round model. So 36 round model, right? So we're talking 9-10 tournaments. 131st in this field out of 156 golfers. So I just think that this might be too much. Unless he just, I don't know, hell, maybe he hits 3-iron off the tee every single time. I don't know. Maybe he does that. And if he does that, then who knows? Maybe it's a completely different deal. But the driver, you know, he just relies on hitting it so damn far that it doesn't matter if it's on the rough or not because he's so close. But you're just not going to be able to get out of this rough up onto the green and do anything. So I'm going against him there. But again, those are my plays. Rahm, Lowry, Henley, Bradley outright. Connors and Straka in the top 20 market. Connors over Hideki. Rahm over Rory. Straka over Hovland. Anything I add will be up at VSiN.com or on my Twitter at MattBrownM2. Go in, see what Kelly and Wes got into their account, as well as the rest of all of the hosts and golf experts that we have on the network throughout the course of the day, found at VSiN.com/picks. So let's go in. Let's enjoy this. I hope the course isn't a circus. I hope they don't make it too damn hard. I'd like to see the guys challenged, but I don't like to see it. I don't like to see good shots not rewarded. I hate it when good shots get penalized because then I think it takes away some of the skill and it just becomes a luck. It becomes more luck than anything else. So hopefully it's a stern, stern test, but it's not just ridiculous out there. Good luck on all your U.S. Open bets.